Moore.
And I'm Colin Lapp.
And you're listening to
Press Coverage, B2's own American football podcast.
Touchdown!
Hello and welcome to Press Coverage, B2's own American football podcast. As promised, we have a great interview for you right now. We are joined by a San Francisco 49ers player, one of the brightest young talents on the roster, and he plays alongside Frank Gore, so he's getting plenty of expert advice, and I am, of course, talking about Kendall Hunter.
So, Kendall, I heard you're just off the practice field. Is that correct? How's your day been so far?
Oh, yes, sir. It's been pretty good. You know, we had meetings and didn't get off the practice field, and we're really good lunch.
Yeah. So, are you guys practicing pretty heavy for the Titans game?
Yeah,
and obviously the Titans, I mean, they've had a pretty good season so far. So what sort of stuff are you expecting from that Titans defense? I mean, they've played pretty stout.
Yeah, Titans tough. Watching them on the field, a solid team, good team. And it's going to be a tough matchup and a hard-fought game.
Yeah, so in their game against Seattle, the Titans' defense seemed to really struggle against the run game, and Russell Wilson in particular. So given Colin Kaepernick's running ability, plus yourself and Frank Gore, should we expect to see a similar approach from the 49ers?
Oh, man, this I've got to get our praise to the offensive line. I've been playing good, opening holes up for Frank, Cap, and me, and
now, we can't ignore the really exciting fact that the 49ers are coming to the UK as you prepare to take on Jacksonville at Wembley Stadium a week on Sunday. Have you begun to think about this game at all yet, or can you not do that until the Tennessee game is done and dusted?
Kendall, do you know yet what is the plan? I mean, are you guys going to fly straight out from Tennessee? I read online that you guys might come straight from that game to England.
Oh, I don't know. You know, all the players, we've just been focusing on Tennessee. And the rest of that will take care of itself. So whenever we get to play in Tennessee, I know more about if we're going to fly out here. But I'm pretty sure we might. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, and sometimes it sort of seems like players, in one sense, they enjoy the international games because it means they get to visit another country. But sometimes, can you understand why some players might see it as a hassle having to come all the way across the world?
I guess everybody got their own opinion, just got to be ready to all calls and any situation. So
obviously, have you ever watched any of the NFL games in London before? Did you see any of the Vikings versus the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No, I've seen the highlights, but I didn't get to watch it because we had a game that day. So
of course, yeah. Well, it's pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of 49er fans in the UK, so I actually think that even though the Jaguars are technically the home team, you can guarantee that the 49ers are going to have way more fans.
Yeah, it's going to be a great experience. I can't wait.
Yeah, and I've also got some questions for you. One of them is coming from the 49ers forums, the official message boards. And one of the questions is, what professional did you try and model your game on the most? Like, what guy was it that really influenced you a lot?
All running backs, you know. Before I came to the NFL, I tried to, you know, watch every running back that I came in, see what he do and see, can I do the same thing or something to make my game better? So I'd say all running backs, because every running back got a different style.
Yeah, and obviously you play with Frank Gore. I mean, just what kind of player is he? I mean, he's already a 49ers legend. Is he a great guy to play with?
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. A great, classic guy. He come to work and take care of business and do whatever he can to get better by each day.
Yeah.
He never take a day off. And as a young guy, you know, you learn from that. And he's a great role model, Coach Ralph, and the running back
career is very great. You know,
everybody push each other and
do whatever
we can to make each other better.
Yeah.
Now, you started off the season with a very hard-fought victory against Green Bay before two very disappointing defeats to Seattle and then Indianapolis, when the team never really got going at all. However, you came back really strong. You saw St. Louis, you demolished the Houston Texans, and then got past a stubborn Arizona team on Sunday. I mean, the 49ers look mightily impressive just now. Do you think you can realistically go unbeaten for the rest of the season now, go from strength to strength?
We gotta take one game at a time, and we gotta worry about ourselves at first. You know, go take one day at a time at practice, compete, and play harder.
When you played Seattle and when you played against Indianapolis, obviously that was quite disappointing defeats. I mean, did you guys always know you were going to bounce back right away?
Man, we go into each and every game, to win the game. So, you know, we go out there and fight our hearts every time. And from each game, we get back to practice and learn from our mistakes and correct them and get better from them.
Yeah, and obviously it was quite a big improvement. I mean, it's strange to say that it happened overnight, but it did seem like it. So what was the major changes and the difference between the games when you played the Rams on the Thursday night? Obviously that's when it all seemed to click.
Oh, just, you know, practice makes better. And it's coming back and seeing stuff that we couldn't do. And learn from it, you know, and do whatever we can to make it better and moving forward.
Yeah. And just out of interest, one of the other questions we have from is another fan on the 49ers forum. He's talking about Seattle. How big is that rivalry? Like, how much does that rivalry mean to you guys?
I mean, it means a lot to everybody in 49ers Nation, because that's a division game, and you want to win every division game you can.
Yeah.
And so it'll make that rivalry even better. I mean, big.
Yeah. And obviously, everyone talks about the crowd noise in Seattle, but you played for a big college team. I mean, you played for Oklahoma State. So how does the Seattle crowd compare to the best college atmospheres you experienced?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like Oklahoma State and OU when I was in college, because they got a big rival. So it's like the kind of game.
We actually just had someone on wondering, Marcus Lattimore, have you guys spoke? Is he coming along well?
Yeah, he's doing a real good job. He's doing really great. Doing everything he's supposed to do and taking it one day at a time.
Good luck with the rest of your season, and thanks a lot for talking. I look forward to seeing you in Wembley.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate it. I've had a great day.
So thanks again to Kendall Hunter for taking up the time. Obviously, you can see he came straight off the practice field and now he's away to another meeting, so good luck to him. But I suppose there's only one place to start for myself and Jonathan. I don't think there's any argument. It must have been the biggest game in terms of star power over the weekend. And that, of course, was the game between the New England Patriots and the New Orleans Saints, Patriots hosting. As me and Jonathan have discussed, probably surprisingly still an undervalued team in the Saints, and Patriots pulled off a miracle win, even by Tom Brady standards, comeback kids, 5 seconds left in the game, and undrafted rookie somehow, Kemrell Tompkins holds in a pass with a few seconds left to go, and a deep corner route, so incredible finish, and I mean, what more can you say, Jonathan?
Yes, good evening, folks. I mean, as you say, even by Tom Brady standards, that was a pretty incredible finish because he came onto the field, he had his chance, and he blew it, and off he went back to the sidelines. And I think maybe the Saints sort of thought that that was it, they'd done enough, because they were a bit lacklustre, to say the least, with what they had in the ball between that play and when Brady came back onto the field. And it just goes to show you can't afford to do that, especially when Tom Brady's around. I mean, there's not a quarterback like that that just seems to keep getting late victories, and he's done it again. And as you mentioned there, Kenbrell Tompkins making the catch, he's been mightily impressive so far this season. I mean, undrafted, it's pretty incredible a player that's come in and made an impact like that went undrafted, relatively unnoticed. I mean, but that's the NFL for you, and also it just shows that Tom Brady really can play with anyone. No, I'm saying that could maybe be interpreted that I'm saying Kenbrell Tompkins is a bad player or nothing great. That's clearly not the case, because he's clearly talented to come in and made such an impact. But just goes to show that Tom Brady really can make or break the careers of the players that he's throwing to. And certainly so far, the rookies that are leading the line for the Patriots this season are doing a pretty admirable job, and another victory. I thought the Saints would be the team making the statement here, but the manner in which the Patriots won this one, if that's not a statement to say that we want to win that Super Bowl and we believe we can, I don't know what is.
Yeah, and I think we should add in general, I think myself and you could be probably part of the NFL scouting team, is because we actually did have an interview with Tompkins lined up before he was actually moving house, so they couldn't do it. So we can say, I think we can, fair to say, we spotted his talent early, didn't we?
Yeah, we spoke to him briefly, so we do have some sort of claim, I think, even if it was just about moving boxes or whatever he said. But yeah, credit where credit's due, we made him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, we gave him some airtime, and I think that the confidence he gained from that has helped him go on, and somehow, as you say, Tom Brady seems to find weapons from nowhere. Well, Kemrell's definitely making a name for himself. Talking about making a name for himself, T.J. Yates did. I really don't want to bring up too many Texas-related stuff for you, but you're the expert. This is your time to shine, so let's allow you to discuss the Texans' annihilation at the hands of the Rams at home. It is a surprising turn of events.
Yeah, well, first of all, I've got to say, as much as I've been tearing Mr. Schaub to shreds over the past few weeks, I think the way that he was treated by the Texans fans on Sunday when he was, or I was going to say when he was cheered, as if that's going to happen, when his injury, his serious looking ankle injury potentially was cheered, I think that's an absolute disgrace, and I don't think there is any place whatsoever for that sort of lack of sportsmanship from fans. But as you said, they sort of got their comeuppance a bit, because TJ Yates, the man they've been glamouring for to see starting, or at least getting a shot, he comes into the game, crucial period of the game, and decides to, well, I don't know what the heck Gary Kubiak and co are coaching the quarterbacks in there, but he came on through another ridiculous pick six, as has been the norm for the Houston Texans, and now we find ourselves with 2 wins and 4 losses. Now, it's been an absolute disaster of a season so far. As I said last week, I wasn't overly confident. I said this was probably nearing must-win game territory, but maybe not quite at this stage. I still stand by that. There's still time, but let's be honest, conceding 38 points at home to St. Louis for any team is going to be seen as concerning for a team that, well, at the start of the season, would have undoubtedly been looking to win the Super Bowl, never mind of a good regular season. To lose at home in that manner to St. Louis, who, let's face it, are not one of the elite teams, quite clearly, is an absolute disaster, and it just sums up the season so far. As I said before, I think the Texans could quite feasibly, if it wasn't for a bit of good fortune, be 0-6 this season, because the two wins that they got were so close, probably undeserved in the balance of playing those games. And at this moment in time, it's really, really difficult to see how things are going to pick up. Although what I would say is, I think TJ Yates showed in his brief appearance that he's probably not the man to take Texans forward. I saw Vince Young tweeting that he wants to come in and save the day. Who knows if that's an answer either. But what I would say is, I think the man that deserves a shot here, if Schaub's not going to be fit, is Case Keenum. I think pre-season, he looked very, very good. I think he was very unfortunate to lose out to TJ Yates for the number two quarterback slot. And you know what? I think the way things are going, Kubiak's under pressure now. He's got nothing to lose other than giving this guy his chance. He's given Schaub chance after chance. It's failed. He's given Yates a chance. He's done miserably as well. He, albeit in just a period of a game. And so I've got to say, I think Case Keenum should have as good a shout as anyone to come in, but as I said, it's really concerning just now, and I really do fear that we won't be seeing Houston in the playoffs.
Well, I suppose you're in luck in that the Colts dropped a game as well to the Chargers, so I suppose you're not that far away from the division lead. But the thing that really confuses me, and it's sort of, you've sort of touched on it, usually when there's a problem with a team, you can pinpoint specific things they have to do better, but I really can't think of anything that I just can't think of anything that I could say, yeah, the Texans can work on that all week. It's quite simple. When you don't have the quarterback, I don't think you have the team. But Arian Foster still seems to be getting his yards as well. So I guess, in theory, as long as you keep giving the ball to him, you're going to do well. But what have you thought of the Texans' defense? Had that played up to the same standard you would expect from them based off the last few seasons?
Not at all. I mean, I think everyone would have said that was probably the strongest side of the ball for the Texans. Also, you've got Andre Johnson, Arian Foster on the other side, as you mentioned there. But, I mean, it's the number of points that are being conceded. As I said, those two games that we won at the start of the season, the number of points conceded to them was pretty concerning as well. So, teams have been able to pick holes in the defence time after time. Granted, there's been those pick sixes as well, which you can't legislate for. But, I mean, it's just something's not right, and both sides of the ball quite clearly. Like you said, it's really difficult to pinpoint what that problem actually is. And I think Gary Kubiak is clearly having the same problems. But I mean, you look at that defence, you've got guys like Ed Reed's obviously in there, you've got Brian Cushing, you know, rookies come in like DJ Swanger, Joe Mays come in as well. They've got good players in there, and not to mention, I mean, Ed Reed, for example, obviously he's had his injury problems, but you don't really notice him making any major plays at all. So it's really concerning. I hope that Kubiak can sort out this what is a mess. But both sides of the ball, other than Arian Foster, I don't think there's really one player that you could give consistent pass marks to. Obviously, the receiver's going to struggle if the quarterbacks aren't going to find them, that's granted, but other than Foster, not a single player really has shone for Houston this season, including the main man, J.J. Watt, and that is really concerning. And as I said, I think missing out in the playoffs, okay, there's still, 9-10 weeks to go or something, but I think it's got to be something that Texans fans really have to seriously consider now, unfortunately.
And it doesn't get any better. The next game you have on Sunday is at the Kansas Chiefs, who, of course, are running with an unbeaten record. So you definitely don't have one of the easy fixtures you'd like after a poor start. But talking of that game, we might as well start off our predictions with that game. And I hope you're going to be positive. The Houston Texans visiting the Kansas City Chiefs. Can the Texans go off? I don't think it'd be a huge upset, but it would be a decent one.
No. Quite frankly, the Chiefs, okay, let's face it, the Chiefs haven't faced many huge challenges so far this season. When you looked at the schedule at the start, you'd probably seen this one approaching and thought, this is going to be tough. But the Texans are playing I mean, in the manner that we'd maybe expect from a team like Oakland or a team like Jacksonville, the sort of the renowned bottom finishers, the lesser teams. But I mean, you've got such an informed team, the Chiefs, against a team that is struggling to make anything positive happen. So, this is. I almost want to abstain in this one, but you know what? I have to apologise to sanity, because I'm going to have to say the Texans are going to win, even though it's not going to be the case. Basically, my thoughts are the Chiefs will absolutely annihilate Houston on Sunday. I think it's going to be a blowout, but because I'm a Texans fan, I'm going to put them down to win. My predictions, simple, nice positive outlook.
And I do appreciate you giving me a sort of free win there. I could actually play it very safe and just allow you to pick every team now, and I'll just pick the same team, knowing that this one game will make me go 4-1. But I'm not like that, so I won't do it. But we might as well start now with them tonight. Big game, NFC West divisional rivalry. Two teams that have very good defense. One. And the Cardinals seem to be struggling on offense, and that's the Seahawks going to Arizona. Tough game. I mean, Seattle obviously played very well. Yes, we dropped our first game of the season to the Colts the other week, and we didn't look too good in doing so, but you can't forget about all the playmakers they have on both sides of the ball. We had a particularly good team. I watched the Cardinals, of course, against the Niners at the weekend, and overall, on the defensive side of the ball, they looked pretty good. Offensively, they left a lot of plays on the field. Carson Palmer missed a lot of throws. The offensive line didn't always protect them to the level you'd expect, you know, the sort of standard that you'd hope for in the NFL, but yeah. I'd love to say that Arizona are going to win, because it helped the 49ers so much, because if we can pick up a win, all of a sudden we're joint top of the division again. But yeah, I've got to go for Seattle over Arizona. I can't see, unless Arizona play the game of our lives, I really struggle to see, even at home, how we can pull off the upset. But stranger things have happened. So, what are your thoughts? Can Arizona upset the mighty Seattle Seahawks?
I think they probably can, but I don't think they will. Although, I've got to say, this does make for quite an intriguing looking game, because we all know that Seattle are perennially quite suspect on the road, no matter how dominant their home form is. It just seems to occasionally just go straight down the pan when they go out on the road. So the Cardinals will probably be keeping that in mind. I thought the Cardinals were a little unfortunate against the 49ers, but I mean, I don't think San Francisco ever really looked like they weren't going to win that game. They obviously had some touchy moments, but the Cardinals, again, they've the sort of weird season, because they've been quite impressive, but as you say, there's been a few things. Offensive line, a wee bit suspect, but I think their offensive weapons are, I think they're pretty impressive. Carson Palmer, that was a move when they brought him in. I wasn't too sure how it would work out, but it's got to be said, once again, Arizona, the veteran quarterback, it seems to be working quite well for them. So I do think this is going to be an intriguing game, and I think it's going to be an extremely close fought game, but I do think the Seahawks will have enough about them. It's going to be a tough one for them, not just because they're on road, because they're going to a team that is playing quite well just now, but I do think that they have a considerable more quality all round, and I think that'll probably show on the day. And I mean, talking of showing on the day, we spoke to Kendall Hunter earlier. I mean, Arizona's Tyrann Mathieu, if you didn't know anything about him, all I can say is you certainly do now after his antics, and Tyrann Mathieu certainly knows who Anquan Boldin is after the nice little headbutt he gave him as well, so it'll be interesting to see what antics Mr. Mathieu gets up to this week.
Yeah, plus I suppose it'll be a nice trash-talking battle. Tyrann Mathieu likes to talk a lot of smack, and the Seahawks are the most notorious team for trash-talk in the NFL, so I do think we could see quite a few flags flying, but I suppose we shouldn't hope for that, but I like the drama personally, so I sort of do hope that it happens. The next game, two sort of teams, I suppose you can see in disaster mode right now. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the Atlanta Falcons. Bucks, obviously, from the start of the season, really haven't been up to much. The Falcons, you'd expect to be, at the start of the season, you thought possibly Super Bowl contenders. And yeah, we've just hit a big slump pretty much from the beginning of the season. And so far, we've just not looked a very good team. Julio Jones out for the year, one of the best, I was going to say one of the best receivers, but one of the best players in the NFL. And to miss a guy like that, that's going to hurt them very, very big over the rest of the season. So how do you see that game going?
Yeah, well, if you say the Falcons have rather surprisingly struggled, I mean, obviously teams are going to lose games, but I certainly didn't expect Atlanta to be staring a 4-1 negative risk card at this stage of the season. It's pretty concerning for them. Like you say, they really need to get their act together pretty soon or they're going to be missing out in the playoffs. But I've got to say, if there's a team I wanted to play in the NFL just now, if I was in charge of a struggling team, I would probably handpick a home game against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, do you say without Julio Jones, that is, you can't even begin to explain just how big a loss that is. But I think the Bucs are just having it so bad just now. Everything on the field and off the field just seems to be conspiring against them, which is why I think that the Falcons get a win here. But whether it's the start of a sort of long-running return to form, that'll remain to be seen, because I don't think you can judge it against a team that are having such a poor run of things just now, like the Bucs, but I can't see anything other than probably quite a comfortable Atlanta win here.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, until the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so fair enough, they didn't look too bad at the weekend, but they still lost, and especially away from home, until we show anything, it's going to be difficult for anyone to pick them. Next game, personally, something I'm quite interested in, actually. The Chicago Bears going to Washington to play RG3 and the Redskins. To be honest, if you asked me this question yesterday, I would have said the Bears would win quite comfortably. I'm going to stick with that prediction, but for some reason I'm a little less confident in it today. For no reason, there's gut feeling. But yeah, I'll go for the Bears over the Redskins. Are you following suit, or do you think RG3 is finally going to show some of his form from last season?
No, I don't think RG3 is going to return to form. Maybe he will in this game, sort of towards the end, because that's been the case in quite a few Redskins games this season. They've just simply not turned up the first two, maybe in three quarters. Then, late in the game, sort of got a kick up the backside and remembered where they were and put up a charge. But I think that the Chicago Bears, got to say, I thought they'd have a decent season, but they've surprised me so far just how good they've looked in most of their games. So I can see this one being quite close, especially if the Redskins make another sort of late charge towards the end of the game. But again, the Redskins, another team that probably didn't quite expect to be sitting on a 1-4 record, and I think ultimately that record goes 1-5 this week. It's going to be a Chicago win.
So, yeah, we've got the same one there. Next game. Interesting, we've already spoken about the divisional rivalry and the NFC between the Cardinals and the Seahawks. We've got another one here in the NFC East. It's the Dallas Cowboys visiting the Philadelphia Eagles. Cowboys on a pretty good run. Obviously, just one on the road at the Redskins. Then, of course, you have Philadelphia Eagles, who we've been a little bit inconsistent, their form has been a little bit patchy, but they look pretty good, even though Nick Foles had to come into the game against the Bucks, and of course that is a team you would expect anyone to beat right now, barring maybe the Jaguars or a team like that, but it's actually a tough one, especially because it's going to be played in Philadelphia, but I think the role that the Cowboys are on, I have to go for the Cowboys over the Eagles.
Well, I mean, a bit like the Dolphins at the start of the season, I kept going for the Eagles, and I've had a bit of a 50% success rate with them, and obviously both teams are good at this game, 3 wins, 3 losses, so somebody's going to end on a winning record, somebody's not going to be so happy sitting a losing record, but I do think this one has the makings of quite an interesting, hopefully a high-scoring game, as we've seen from these two teams in the past when they've played each other. But, as you say, it's a tough one to call because the Cowboys are having a good run of things just now. It's difficult to sort of bet against them, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I think the Philadelphia Eagles, I think Nick Foles looked really good against the Bucks. Obviously, as you said, maybe not a lot to shout about at this stage, considering how bad they've been. But Yeah, I'm going to say Philadelphia pull off a win here. A very hard fought win in what will also be quite a high scoring game. Looking forward to this one.
Well, no, I think you're right. I think it's going to be a pretty good game. Always is, actually. NFC East rivalries are always quite exciting games. Next one. Interestingly, another divisional rivalry. Seems to be a few of this week. New England Patriots going to the New York Jets. A couple of years ago, this could have been this game could pretty much decide who gets to the Super Bowl. Patriots obviously coming off an emotional high, defeating the Saints in the fashion we did at home. I mean, it really is one of those things you'll be remembering that game for years to come. The Jets had disappointing performance, let's be honest, against the Steelers, losing at home, especially after they went into the Georgia Dome and beat the Falcons. You know, with the Jets being at home, I'm tempted, you know, especially trying to bounce back from that defeat against the Steelers. But I have to go for the Patriots. I think it'd be suicide not to after we beat the Saints the way we did.
Yeah, likewise. It's a really disappointing Jets performance. If this game had been played last week, I would have probably maybe edged toward the Jets, because the Jets were coming off a good little spell at that point. Well, so it was a really disappointing defeat to Pittsburgh last weekend. Patriots, total opposite. A game doesn't get won in much more dramatic style than that one, as we've mentioned. And of course, they've got Tom Brady, so it's a difficult one, really, to sort of have a look and analyse how this game might go in terms of will it be quite close or will the Patriots run riot? Because I really do think it's got the potential to go either of those ways, and we could say the same about any game. But I think this one really does. It's a really difficult one to predict what's going to happen. But I think the end result, as you say, it'll be suicidal not to pick a Patriots win here.
I'm just going to throw another tough game at you now. It's a very competitive week. Buffalo Bills are obviously just come off a tight defeat to the Bengals at home. They're visiting the Dolphins, who seem to have lost a little bit of steam. It's a tough one. So Bills at Dolphins, are you going to stick with your team of the year so far, it seems, the Dolphins?
I will be, yes. But I've got to say, in the subject of the Buffalo Bills, I mean, you struggle to find maybe an unluckier team in the league. The amount of close games they've had this season, the amount of, I mean, a couple of overtime losses in there as well, it just always seems to go to the wire, the Buffalo Bills. And whereas I said the Texans, you know, if it wasn't for late winning plays, could be sitting in a 0-6 record. I think the Bills could quite easily be sitting in a winning record if they just hadn't conceded late points or managed to convert something late themselves. So I've got to say, I think the Buffalo Bills have been playing quite well, and I think the current 2-4 standing that they currently find themselves on, I don't think that really reflects how sort of well they've performed this season so far. I think they've been enjoyable to watch. Obviously, they're another team with a bit of an interesting quarterback situation just now. Thaddeus Lewis appeared out of nowhere, it seemed, and obviously now they've brought in Matt Flynn as well, so it'll be interesting to see who starts up there. But on the subject of the Dolphins, 3-2 I think they're sitting on just now. I've been impressed when I've seen them. Also a couple of defeats on the board now for them, but I think home advantage against a Bills team that seems to just lose games that they really should be winning. I fancy the Dolphins here, but I think this one could be quite high scoring yet again. I think it's got makings of an entertaining game, but I think the Dolphins sneak it.
Here's hoping. Anytime there's high scoring games, that's always a good thing. Next one involving, suppose with the Texans, recent fortunes, maybe your favourite team, especially considering you're going to see them in London. The Chargers, who just won Monday Night Football against the Colts, they're going to Jacksonville, and, you know, I suppose the Chargers have been a little bit inconsistent on the road, so do you think Jacksonville can win at home?
Well, before I do that, are you going to entertain me with a prediction from the Miami-Buffalo game?
You know what, give it? Well, I don't give it. I thought I gave it at the start. Dolphins. I think the Bills. I think you mentioned last week you weren't sure who Thad Lewis was, or you said that to me.
No, I'd heard of him, but I just actually totally missed the story that he'd signed for for Buffalo a couple of weeks ago, and when it appeared on the screen, he just suddenly appeared throwing passes for the Buffalo Bills. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I just totally missed the story that they'd signed him up.
I'll be honest, I've heard of a name, but I really wasn't sure about who much really about him. And I was quite shocked, like you. I didn't actually realise the E.J. Manuel injury was quite so serious. I don't think it's gotten as much airtime as it deserves. Like, considering he's a first-round pick and the future of the franchise, definitely something that should be getting spoken about more, so hopefully he'll come back. I'd imagine if the Bills want to have a chance in their division, he'll have to. But yeah, going to that next game, your favourite team, the Jaguars, hosting the Chargers. Can the mighty, I was going to say Gabbert-led team, but I'm not sure if that's the case. Can they do it?
Yeah, likewise, I'm not quite sure who's going to be starting at quarterback this week coming for the Jags. I mean, obviously, you know that Blaine Gabbert is an absolute legend in the eyes, an absolute underrated hero, the Peyton Manning of tomorrow. So, obviously, when it comes to the Wembley game, it would be great to see Gabbert live, but I think from a Jags point of view, they've got to stick with Chad Henne, who, well, unbelievably, it was a Jaguars quarterback that looked half competent on Sunday. Yes, he was spectacular. He threw a couple of interceptions as well, but he looked competent, which is something you can't say about Gabbert in recent appearances or recent seasons or even the past couple of years. He's been total incompetent. But Henne came in, solid job, and I've got to say the Jaguars certainly did their chances of turning their fortunes around no harm with a very, very credible display in Denver. Ran them so close the whole game, pretty much until the last quarter, when Denver just managed to pull away. But I think there's signs, I mean, also Will Blackman, who he spoke to last week, said that he believed things were starting to take shape. And you know what? It's difficult not to agree with him. Very few teams have pushed the Broncos that hard this season. And that is why I think that the Jacksonville Jaguars will be coming into the Wembley game after getting the first win on the board at home to the Chargers.
Well, now I have two picks I'm pretty confident in. I'm going to have to go for the Chargers. After Monday Night Football, winning at home, they looked pretty good. Quite a low-scoring game overall. The Colts weren't at their best, but the Chargers looked pretty good. Phillip Rivers looks a different player this year. Not making quite as many mistakes, and I think there's a nice little rhythm there. Keenan Allen's going to get going. The running game could still stand to improve, but they were definitely more physical when I saw them on Monday. So, yeah, I can only see quite a comfortable Chargers victory.
Keenan Allen, of course, another player made by the show.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, I think so. I'd say he was injured at the time we spoke to him. I think there was a little bit of face healing involved, and he's came back strong. So, yeah, I think we can take credit. He's not going to know. Yeah, the Chargers win for me. Next game, two teams coming off big wins in terms of, I suppose, away victories. That's the Rams, and I won't mention the team that they defeated, versus the Panthers, who hammered the Vikings in the Metrodome. I'm actually struggling with that one, but I think with the Panthers being at home, I think we'll topple the Rams in a close one. What about you?
Yeah, I think this is one of the real difficult ones to pick a winner from this week, because I think they are, face things, quite an evenly matched team. Disappointing for me this season, from a Rams point of view, is how, you know, Tavon Austin maybe hasn't really got going so far. He was my favourite player in the entire draft class. We've really not seen a lot from so far. From a Panthers point of view, Cam Newton, really impressive this season. I mean, a lot of people, I think, were even talking about him being a potential bust before. I think that was a bit too quick to move in terms of calling him that, but I think he's looked impressive. The Panthers have surprised me this year. Yes, they're obviously sitting on a losing record just now, but I think that win against the Vikings last week away from home just shows that this is a good team, and they probably should be doing better than they have been doing recently. So, it's a difficult one, because the Rams, I don't think even the Rams would expect to go to Houston and come away with such a dominating victory. I'm going to play it safe, and purely because of home advantage, I'm going to agree and say the Panthers will win this one.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's going to be really tight, especially with both teams sort of having I suppose they could be called franchise quarterbacks, yeah, the jury's still out on both of them, I guess. It's quite a tough one. Very unfortunate, actually. I'd hate to be facing a franchise under that kind of pressure, but next game, another famous show, actually, in terms of the picks. Really, really competitive game. The Cincinnati Bengals traveling to Detroit to play the Lions. Can you see any clear-cut winner here?
Not at all. I've got to say, I thought the Lions would improve, but I think they are really looking like a strong case to win their division now. I said in the preview shows that we did before the season that I thought they'd maybe make a charge to the playoffs, but they maybe wouldn't quite get there. Well, the way they've played so far, I can't see anything other than the Detroit Lions making the playoffs. The Bengals, I thought they'd have a good season, and I think so far, a couple of impressive wins in there. I think Andy Dalton last week, he's got his doubters, but I thought he was superb last week. Definite contender for my man of the week later, but will he get it? Who knows at this stage? But yeah, another intriguing game. Two teams, I think they've both got 4 wins and 2 losses, if I'm right. I'm quite sure about that. I think that's the case. But two offences I've really enjoyed watching, two offences that I seem to big up on a weekly basis here, particularly the Bengals one. I hope this is going to be another high-scoring game. I mean, I think there's a potential for quite a few high-scoring games this week, actually. Entertaining, close high-scoring games at that, but Andy Dalton versus Matthew Stafford. I think purely, again, it's the home advantage here that's swinging me, because I genuinely think either of these teams could make a case for either of them to win this game, but I'm going to say the Detroit Lions will edge a close one. I think this is a field goal winning game, this one.
Well, I'm going to go with the Bengals. Mainly because Calvin Johnson hasn't really been healthy. Last week, he was just sort of a decoy. He wasn't really used very much, if at all. And I just think the Bengals, although I still don't trust Andy Dalton too much, I do think they're a talented team. Gio Bernard just seems to be a really exciting playmaker on that side. And yeah, I think it'll be a tight one like you, but I'll go the opposite way. I think the Bengals will pull it out in a very, 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 very tight game. I think we're going to go right down to the fourth quarter. Not quite overtime like they needed against the Bills, but I think we're talking about the Bengals getting a field goal in the last minute or so of the game. I think both quarterbacks are quite similar in that they're both prone to mistakes, so I actually think this could be a bigger defensive battle than people think. So the next game, there's not really enough adjectives to describe this team. Magnificent, wonderful, brilliant, incredible.
We've already done the Houston game.
What?
We
are talking, of course, about the San Francisco 49ers. And we are travelling to Tennessee, who have been just such a stubborn team this year. Even with Jake Walker out, we still ran Seattle pretty close. So it's definitely a tough one, particularly playing in Nashville. Do you think the Super Bowl champions of 2014 will, you know, do you think we'll win? I think we will, Jonathan. Do you agree?
Have we done the Broncos game yet? I don't think we have we? Yeah, talking about the Super Bowl 2014 champions. No? Okay, going to them later. But as for the team that might not make the playoffs, the 49ers, no, I mean, as I pose the question, did Kendall Hunter think that they could go the season unbeaten from now to the end? He obviously wanted to keep his feet on the ground, saying take one game at a time, but I firmly believe that the 49ers could do that, because I think they've hit the ground running now. After that really slow start to the season where they were dreadful, let's not make any bones about it, they were really poor, nothing was getting going. But now, Kaepernick seems to be finding his groove again. A few magnificent passes seen in the Arizona Cardinals game. The running game is picking up steam once again. Frank Gore's looking to play when he can be. Obviously Kendall getting in the act, a few touchdowns as well. Kaepernick trying to get the rushing game back. So, and as I mentioned to Kendall in the interview again, I mean, I asked him if they'd maybe approach things the same way as Seattle Seahawks did, and their running game seemed to absolutely rip the Tennessee defence apart. So I firmly believe the 49ers will approach this a run-heavy game again, and I don't think Tennessee will be able to cope with that. So I think, sadly, it's going to be... I'd love to see the 49ers come into Wembley losing with the Jags buoyed by their first victory of the season, but I don't think that's going to be the case. It's 49ers, I don't think it's going to be comfortable. It might be a sort of similar game to the Arizona one, where they're having to answer a lot of points, but I do expect them to see this game out. Another close one, but another win for the 49ers.
Well, I hope you're right, because it's one of those ones where I don't feel too confident, but I just think if the 49ers really want to continue on this vein of form, then you have to beat teams like Tennessee, especially with Fitzpatrick at quarterback, so I'll agree. And hopefully the 49ers will be coming to London off the back of a good win. Next game, we've already done that, obviously, the Texans at the Chiefs. You're still remaining positive, sticking by your team. I respect that. However misguided it may be. Next game, divisional rivalry. Prior to this season, you'd be saying this would be huge, as it usually always is, but really it's not too important right now. It's the Ravens going to Pittsburgh. And yes, it may be one of the oldest, most traditional established rivalries, but nobody really cares right now because both teams are just, they've not lived up to expectations in any way. So, Ravens at the Steelers, do you have anyone you think far and away should be the favourite?
I don't think there really is a clear favourite here. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I'd have probably, or even last week, I'd have probably quite happily picked the Ravens, maybe not even too much of a guided, maybe just a sort of, if I was having to guess what I do sometimes, I just don't have a clue, I'd probably lean towards the Ravens. But now that the Steelers have that first win, albeit not the most convincing or exciting of wins over the Jets, but they have that one next to the four defeats now, they'll be hoping they can kick on. Obviously hoping is totally different to actually getting out there and doing it. But I mean, just touching what you said there, I mean, last season before, years before this should have been the game of the weekend. This would have been the one that you'd have looked at and been absolutely thrilled about. I mean, obviously we've got Peyton Manning going to Indianapolis again to come, but this game certainly would have been right up at the top. But I mean, it's been overshadowed, you know, by the likes of the Texans-Chiefs game. Even, you know, the Rams-Panthers, such a close game, two teams like that. That's a more exciting prospect at this point. As you say, nobody really seems bothered. Will it be an entertaining game? I don't know. Other than the Wembley game, the Steelers games haven't been the most thrilling to watch this season. In terms of who's going to win, well, I am going to have to guess this one, because I think this has got the makings of quite a low-scoring, close one. Maybe not quite a field goal, but I think a touchdown wins this one. And because the Steelers have been so poor, and even last win wasn't overly convincing, I'm going to say the Ravens are going to get an away win here. Although let's not beat around the bush, the Ravens haven't been anything special either. But I think they'll edge this one, just.
I'm still sort of torn, but I'm going to go with the Steelers, just simply because they get back to basics against the Jets, who look pretty good. And I just think we'll be up for this game at home. The fans always, you know, they hate the Ravens, so I just think it'll be a very close one, but as these games usually are. But I think after that win, we should be buoyant, and the Ravens just haven't looked the team we should, considering the talent levels available to them. And I think the Steelers will pull out a close one, but to be completely honest, if the Ravens do what you expect and win a close one as well, I really wouldn't be surprised at all. It really is a toss-up. Next game. We can't stop winning right now, Cleveland Browns, which just doesn't really go together considering their recent fortunes over the last few years, but we really are in a great run of form, even with their quarterback Brian Hoyer, who played a few games, played very well. He's out with a torn ACL, Weeden comes in, and they look pretty good again. I mean, yes, we might have been unfortunate, but these last few weeks, I mean, I can't believe how many games the Browns won. I was surprised. Before the season, I'd have been surprised if you told me about the two or three games on the season. The fact that we're actually at the top of the division, I believe, is just incredible. The Cleveland Browns at the top of the division just don't go. So well done to them. Unfortunately, we have to go to Lambeau and play Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, which is not very nice for any team. So whilst I admire what the Browns have done. I'm going to have to go for Green Bay and a pretty comfortable victory.
Well, yeah, I certainly know who I'd rather have at quarterback. If I had to pick between Brandon Whedon or Aaron Rodgers, I mean, if I pick Whedon, I might save a few pounds in the bank, but in terms of winning games of football, Aaron Rodgers is your man. I mean, as you say, the Browns, it's a bit of a shock to see them flying so high. We basically had them doomed after they traded away Trent Richardson, but certainly that is not the case. You said Brian Hoyer, he came in, he looked really impressive. That was even a surprise in its own right, but sadly for them, they've now lost him for the season. Whedon's having to come in again. Do you say last week he looked more than competent? But I think in terms of longevity, and keeping a consistent run of form going, the jury is well and truly out on Brandon Whedon for that. But, I mean, you know what, because of the unpredictable nature of the Browns, both on and off the field this season, it really wouldn't shock me if they came away with a win here, but in terms of predicting what's going to happen, what I think's going to happen, I can't see anything other than a home win for the Packers.
Okay, and now we get to, in my opinion, the best game of the week. Peyton Manning, the veteran, visiting his successor with the Colts. Of course, it's going to be such an interesting game. Peyton Manning's still a legend in Indianapolis, so I think it's the first time we've met, actually, Peyton Manning versus Andrew Luck, so it's definitely an interesting one. With the Broncos being on the road, I do think it will be close, but I think Von Miller comes back now actually as well for the Broncos, which is a huge get considering he's one of the best players in the NFL. But I just think the Broncos are too good right now and they'll manage to beat the Colts on the road.
I think this is a super exciting one because the Colts, other than that, lost San Diego last week and looked really impressive. Let's not beat around the bush, they deserve to lose that game. San Diego, but I mean, this fixture, you know, as you said, it's Peyton Manning going back to what was his home turf, his arena, now playing for the other side, taking on Andrew Luck and the Colts. So, I mean, similar to the Manning v Manning game early in the season, this has already got a big story surrounding it already, even without football having even started. But as you say, Von Miller back, not bad to get a player like that back in the fold when you've looked unstoppable as it is. Well, I say unstoppable, being pushed that hard by the Jags, no disrespect to the Jags, you know I like the Jags, that's concerning for a team like the Broncos. Their defence, the amount of points, as I sort of heavily mentioned last week, that they're conceding is ridiculous. They just so happens they're scoring so many that they're getting away with it. Yeah, it's a really tough one to call, but like you say, I mean, the Broncos, no matter how difficult a test they come up against, whether it's a team, you know, that seem hopeless like the Jaguars, or a team in a good running form like the Cowboys, they just somehow seem to squeeze past and get the job done. So for that reason, I think they're going to be pushed really hard. Andrew Luck will want to go out there and show why they basically traded him in to get Manning out in a sort of non-trade, official trade way, if you like. And he'll want to show that was well and truly the right decision by playing the guy that he replaced off the park. So a really exciting game prospect, but because the Broncos seem to always get over the line, I think they do the same this week. I cannot wait for this one.
Yeah, I mean, same as you. Although I think the Broncos will win, I think it will be a tight one and definitely game of the week. So I think they've got it right there in terms of the latest game. Very last game, obviously, Monday Night Football. The game just a few days ago was actually pretty good considering it was low scoring. It was, you know, the Colts were at it right to the end, so here's hoping this will be another tight one. And it's two teams that aren't doing very well. The Minnesota Vikings travelling to New York to face the Giants. So, yeah, two teams that aren't looking too hot right now, but I suppose the Giants would like to face the Vikings at home to try and get their first victory of the season. Do you think they get it?
Do the Giants get the victory? No, they don't. I've said week after week, I think at this precise moment in time, they're the most hopeless looking team in the league. Eli Manning, we say week after week, will this be the week he gets going? Can he do it this week? No. from the way things have been going. No, they can't. However, a home game against a team like the Vikings, beforehand you said, really tough one, a team you wouldn't want to be playing when you're in a slump, but the Vikings are a bit of a slump in their own right. I mean, last week they were obviously destroyed at home by the Carolina Panthers, so this game's a really unpredictable one. Not in a sense of it being a, you know, a heavyweight encounter between two really informed teams, because it's two teams that just can't seem to buy a win at the moment. And also, an intriguing thing for the bargain is that Josh Freeman is going to be making, it's been confirmed, his Minnesota Vikings debut in this one at quarterback. So the Vikings using their third quarterback of the season already. Will this be a long-term thing? Probably. But I mean, I think Matt Castle's probably feeling a bit aggrieved. But Freeman, they obviously brought him in. He's not a guy that you're going to make sit on the bench for too long. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. But, I mean, the Giants, I can't see where they're going to get a win from, and I think they go 0-7 here. Minnesota win.
Well, I would take the plunge and say that the Giants will win. They need to win eventually. The Vikings have looked awful the last few games, which is a surprise because they looked good in Wembley, so you'd have thought they would have sort of went on and marched on to bigger and better things, but obviously that's not happened. So I'll go for a Giants win. No reason as such, just gut feelings and the fact that I said that we should have won 4 weeks ago, so I'm going to have to just keep going for it when they play teams that aren't that good. Now, following the predictions, obviously, you know, I'm the champ in that regard, so hopefully I will get to 4-1 now. But I'll have to leave some expertise to you now for the college football, because if people don't know, you are the biggest Florida State fan in the world. And there's a huge game this week. Clemson hosting Florida State, two unbeaten teams, ACC rivals, two national championship contenders possibly if they keep winning. So how is the team? How do you think the team you love will do against Clemson, who have the quarterback that you love?
Yeah, well, I got to say, I don't think I've really been more torn watching a game before. Because okay, I'm not the biggest Florida State fan in the world. Let's just get that out there right away. But certainly from what I've seen college football, sort of still relatively short time that I've been following that side of the game. You know, Florida State have been the team that I've been mightily impressed by, especially when Jameis Winston came in. Young quarterback, pretty weird seeing a quarterback younger than myself, because, you know, that was always my dream. I thought I would get there one day. You know, there's still time. If Mount Union are looking for a quarterback, I'm your man. But anyway, to get back on on point, I'm really, this one, I mean, Taj Boyd, we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, obviously, and usually, as we heard from Kendall Hunter earlier, Will Blackman last week, if there's a game sort of a few weeks away, they normally say, oh, we need to concentrate in the next game, then we'll start thinking of that one. Taj Boyd talked about this one. He's excited about it. He was looking forward to it 2 weeks ago, even though there were still games to play in between. It's a rivalry game, and more importantly, a loss for any of these teams, that could eliminate them from, you know, the national championship running. Just the way it is in college football, it is so competitive, it's almost like a knockout competition. But as you say, the two quarterbacks here, Jameis Winston, Taj Boyd, doesn't get more intriguing than that, putting those two guys up against each other. Obviously, looking through the teams, you've got top quality future NFL stars on both sides of the ball. You've got Nick O'Leary in there, tight end, Florida State, Sammy Watkins, another friend of the show. But I'm really interested to see Winston in this one, how he copes, because I think if Clemson are able to get to him, it's going to be, you know, a big atmosphere. He's still essentially a boy. He's a young man, just finding his feet. As good as he's been, it's in Death Valley. Nobody likes going there, visiting team. I think if Clemson can maybe get him rattled quite early on, get in his face, show him that he's in for a game, I'm really interested to see how he can step up to the plate. Said he's a young man. Can he deal with this and talk things, you know, into Death Valley? His first visit there as a quarterback, probably his first visit ever, unless he just goes to Clemson all the time. But I think that could be the key to this game in terms of Clemson getting a win. Obviously, they've got that crowd behind them. That's like having an extra player on the field as it is. But I think if they can get to Jameis Winston, I think Clemson could be looking at maybe seeing this game out. But as you mentioned, Taj Boyd in there, he is an official friend of the show. He's got the badge to prove it. A really, really exciting game prospect. I mean, got to say, there's so many competitive games in the NFL this week, but I think this game might just be the football game to watch this week.
Yeah, and that's why I hope we're actually going to fit it onto the TV screens here in the UK, because it doesn't look like it is right now. But I'm hoping with the baseball game tonight. I don't have a clue about baseball, so I'm not going to tell you what teams are there, because I don't know. But apparently, if one team wins tonight, they'll get the sweep, which means this series is over, which means there will be a time slot opened at 1 a.m, which is the time of the game. So if BT Sport or ESPN are listening, if the baseball team gets the job done tonight, then you have to get your job done and put this game on the TV screen, because I don't know why we can have all our games that mean next to nothing and not have this. But anyway, I think it's going to be a really tough game too. I think it'll be high scoring. I think it's going to be exciting. Two quarterbacks. I mean, Winston's already been crowned as this special talent, and quite rightly so, based on what we've seen thus far in his career. Taj Boyd, nothing else you really have to say about him. One of the best in college football. Probably a surefire first round NFL pick next year. So it's a tough one, but Clemson, I really like them as a team, and I'm always going to favour them simply because they've been so good with us. So I think Clemson will pull it out somehow, the home field advantage. If it was at Florida State, I might think different, but I'd like to say Death Valley, it's an intimidating atmosphere. It's somewhere that no person likes to go and play a game, because they know they're going to have just, you know, the loudest noise rained down on them. So I reckon it'll be a close Clemson win, and I think we could be looking at a game similar to the Georgia one, actually, where we could be looking at 30-40 points apiece and a very exciting game from a neutral. So, yeah, I think that's... that about does it, actually. We spoke about the main NFL headlines. College football, as Johnny says, I should have probably said that as well, but I must agree with him. I actually do think this Clemson-Florida State game is possibly, along with the Colts Broncos, going to be game of the week. So definitely keep an eye out for it if it's on TV. If not, find legal ways, I suppose I should make that clear, legal ways to watch online, ESPN playing or something like that. So it'll be a great game.
No. Just find a stream. I don't care. Illegal means... it works. If that's what you have to do to see this game, I'm condoning it. If anyone asks, tell them to come and see me, then we'll see who wants to see illegal streams.
Yeah, well, I'll just make that clear. Colin Lamon has not said that. That is Jonathan Moore. But, okay.
Just send them round to me, and I'll deal with them, and then make them sit and watch it. Then we'll see why you did it, alright?
Yeah,
anyone? I'll give you my address and phone number as well if you want to read it. It's, just like we, you know, sort of illegally use Kevin Cadle's voice on here on a weekly basis, just find an illegal stream. Easy,
yeah,
does it.
I just completely forgot. We almost missed the most important part of the show.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Cadle's illegal voice, of course.
Kevin Cadle's part, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, there's quite a few candidates, so your man of the week, is it a Texan? He laughs.
That's the man.
Yeah, of course. Matt Schaub for so unselfishly getting deliberately injured so he could leave the game and allow, you know, Texas fans to breathe a sigh of relief so they could see another pick six, because, you know, he wasn't quite doing it this time, so he let someone else do it for him. But no, seriously, this week, as I said, Andy Dalton was a man I touted, just because I think the criticism he gets is totally unfair. I like Andy Dalton as a quarterback, and I think he looked a quality quarterback this past week, but I'm going to give it to quarterback, and it's not that one, and this is a statement that I never, ever, 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 ever thought I was going to say, but my player of the week for week 6 is Nick Foles of the Philadelphia Eagles. Backup quarterback, probably he's going to be a career backup. But granted, he's playing against the Bucs, but my goodness, if there weren't many people shouting for him to be the starting quarterback, I think there will be now. Everything he did looked impressive. He passed for almost 300 yards, 3 touchdowns in there as well. Topped things off, he went over and got himself a rushing touchdown as well, and what was a relatively comfortable win. Obviously, the score was reasonably close, but comfortable looking win, and you know what, I think he fits into Chip Kelly's offense very well, and I think Michael Vick might need to watch his starting jersey from now on, because if Nick Foles can keep playing like that, I think he could win many more Kevin Cadle Man of the Week awards. Many more.
I agree indeed. My Man of the Week, although overall he didn't have a good game, Tom Brady, one of the best comebacks I've ever seen. You should never give Tom Brady the ball more than once in the last few minutes of a game. I suppose that's the ultimate sin in the NFL. I think we should know that based off his long career. But anyway, just the fact he got the job done with, as we've talked about, pretty much unknown receivers. The way he came back, it was just so exciting. And I just think, you know, people talk about being clutch. Tom Brady is exactly that. And if we're taking the first three quarters, and the first three quarters and pretty much the entire fourth quarter, he doesn't deserve it for work, but for that last drive alone, that, you know, that was just epic. So I really can't help but give it to him. So I suppose I should mention now, you already said you're willing to take the flak if you can get into trouble. So if you do want to give Jonathan into trouble, if you want to moan at him and get into trouble, then please to get him is Jonathan J. Moore. Myself at C Lambert Sports, you can get the podcast, all sort of information there. I know Jonathan regularly updates it as well. I should probably get on that too with NFL related breaking news. And that is Press Coverage V2. You can go onto the V2 Journal website, all those articles on there, different things you can check out. Not only American football, of course, football, boxing, all sorts of interesting stuff that you can have a look at. And we should also mention the forum, always good discussion going on there. And overall, enjoy the week of the NFL. You will be coming back next week to listen to us and me gloat about going 4-1 in the prediction. And my one hope for the week is that Johnny gets what he wants, and that is a Texans win.
Indeed, I look forward to it. And also, let's not forget, when we next record, it'll be a matter of days from us travelling down to London for that international series game. Pretty scary stuff. It is literally just around the corner, so no guessing what's going to be dominating our show next week.
Yes, the fact that we'll be approaching me going 5-1, but yes, the game will be pretty good as well.
Yeah.
So I'll say goodbye, and I'll leave Jonathan if he can. I don't know. Can you speak Mandarin, Jonathan?
Now you're setting me up for something here because. You know what, I'm not even going to say anything, you know, I'll cause controversy. Goodbye.
Yeah. Touchdown!